Okay, Abayisai, I have to apologize about the Maram Akremis. Naftali does a great job, but I was in the mountains, and I gave him I was off by a couple of, I don't know if the Ilum picked it up, but we were off by one ice in the Chazon Ish. And the mail of the Rambam also was off, because the Chazon Ish brings down the Rambam. So it's Oy Zayin, not Oy Zvav. Anyway, first we'll finish off the... what we were discussing last week. We had a machlokes in the sugya that when the Mishnah says that by Vlad, it's different than the Vlad itself. Vlad Shlomim, according to Rabbi Lezer, is Loyikrav. Vlad is different. So the Gemara had a machloikis, whether Vlad is different and it's worse, or Vlad is different and it's better. Those were the two ways the Gemara went to go. First approach the Gemara brought down, Omer Rabba, Mistavra Loynechluku, Shaloyikrav, Eloyikrav. Rabba's mahalach was that Vlad is better, and even Rabbi Lezer, who normally holds Loyikrav, would say by Vlad is Yikrav. And the reason given is because it's a rarity that you should have a grandchild of a Shlomim. It's rare. And therefore, we don't make such a takana. And then we had Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, who argued with Rabbi, and he said just the opposite. He said logic dictates that the Vlad is worse. Because anybody who has a Vlad, it's true, it's rare. But it stands to reason that if a guy has a Vlad, he's the goblin cowboy. So, we were struggling last week, to understand, we didn't really get back to this point, of what's the svara to be chaylik with that? That seems to be very strong logic. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's way of thinking seems to be the most logical way to look at it. You're making a gzeira. Who are you worried about? You're worried about somebody who's going to go and be Megadol Adorim. He's going to dafka take a shlomim in order to create, to breed Korbanos Shlomim. So obviously, if you see a grandchild of a shlomim, it's more likely that you're dealing with a person who is a breeder. That's the more so than if you just have a Vlad Shlomim. Vlad Shlomim could be a mishap. Right? He didn't have to dafka want to create a Vlad Shlomim. He had a Vlad Shlomim. A Vlad Shlomim, as unlikely as it is most likely that the person is a Megadol Shlomim. So why would it... What's Pshat and Rabbah? That was the problem that we had. And in fact, many of the Rishonim Paskin like Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi for the obvious reason, because it seems more logical. The Rambam, although the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rabbi Lezer, he paskins of Vlad Shlomim is Korv Shlomim, like the Tanakama, like the Chachomim. But the Rambam says, a Vlad Shlomim you don't bring. Why don't you bring a Vlad Shlomim? Because of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's Svara. Yishuv ben Levi's Svara is it's most likely that the guy is being Megadolit. And therefore, he's the guy we're talking to. He's the guy we're trying to dissuade. So therefore, it's most logical. So we didn't really get back. So what I wanted to be mavayer is that I think that this connects to what the yesod that we were working on last week on establishing. And that was, we were dealing with a more basic question, which was why do the Rishonim, namely Rashi and the Ravni Bar Tanura, and the Poshet Pirush in the Gemara, the way Rabbeinu Gershon learns as well, is that we're worried about the Shlomim. We're worried about the Korban. You may come to be Moyel, you may come to eat it. What are we worried about? What's wrong with being Megadol Adorim? What's wrong with breeding Korban Shlomim? So most of the Rishonim on the Daf see it as a problem that we're worried something will go wrong with the Korban Shlomim. You may come to eat it, Rabbeinu Gershon says. You may come to be Moyel in it, Kisav Avoida. The Rambam and the Meiri, we had said the most logical reason. They said, we're worried, we don't have to be worried, maybe. Just the concept of being Megadol Adorim Adorim is also because there's Baal Tachar. You're not allowed to delay a korban. So that seems to be the most logical approach. And this kasha is not our own. This is the Tosfos Yom Tov asks this kasha. What's pshat? So the explanation that we gave last week, and this is where we ended last week, was that there are really two different ways to look at what Chazal did. I'm going to explain to you now why it is that way. Why does each opinion feel as such? But there are two ways to look at what Chazal did in the case of the scenario of Vlad Shlomim. Clearly they said, according to Rabbi Lezer, you can't bring it. You can't bring a Vlad Shlomim. Clearly, they said that we don't want you to be Megadol Adorim Adorim. What really did Chazal create? One approach is, Chazal created Apostle Shlomim. They said, okay, we, because of our concern, we're making this into a Apostle Korban. This Korban is Apostle. Call it a Psul de Rabbanan. Okay? The Rabbanan are now making that this Korban is Apostle, not Roy Lakrava. The other way to look at it is, the Chachamim are not doing anything intrinsically to the Korban. They're giving a knas, a penalty, on the person that has this Vlad, and they're telling him, don't bring it. Nothing wrong with the Vlad. The Vlad is fine. Even Midrabonan, the Vlad is a kosher carbon. We're telling you, you can't bring it. And that's a concept we find very often, where a knas is not intrinsic. I'll give you a totally outside comparison. In Hilchos Shabbos, for instance, we find that if somebody's mevashel on Shabbos, he's not allowed to benefit from the food. Okay? Not allowed to benefit from the food. If he's mevashel b'shegik, he can benefit from the food after Shabbos b'chtei shiasa, right? If he's mevashel b'shabbos b'mezit, he could never benefit from the food. What's the halacha with the gedera? The pot. So Mogen Avraham points out in Hilchos Shabbos that we don't find in the Shulchan Aruch that the pot is a problem. Why not? If you hold that mevashel b'shabbos is aser, so the pot should be a tray for pot. Midrabbanan. I'm not talking about midrashim. Not question changing. The food that was cooked in that pot is aser to eat. It's aser midrabbanan. The taste of that food, we're not talking about the pot. Why could you never cook with a pot that you cook treifas in? We have nothing against the pot. You have a tam that went into the walls of the pot. So the same thing here, you have a cholent. You went and cooked a cholent on Shabbos. You can't eat the cholent midrabbanan. Like any Yisrael Rabbanan. Chicken and milk is also only midrabbanan. Right? Basar b'chol of chicken and milk is also only the Rabbanan. L'maisa, if you took a soup pot and you cook up chicken and milk, the pot is treif. You can't use the pot. You need to kasher the pot. So why don't you have to kasher the pot from the Yisrael Rabbanan of the cholent? Now I have cholent that you're not allowed to eat midrabbanan. And it's absorbed in the walls of the pot. This is a Mogen Avraham Shaila. So one of the approaches I gave to answer this Mogen Avraham is that really once a tam stays in a pot, even overnight, it already becomes nois and tam lufgan. That's why midaraisa, you don't need to kasher a pot. Technically midaraisa, right? You can have one pot. It sounds crazy, but it's midaraisa, that's the case. You can have one pot. Sunday night fleishiks, Monday night milchiks, Tuesday night, no problem, kosher. The Ritva brings down from his Rebbe that they had such a pot, one pot. Everything, milchiks, fleishiks, nois and tam lufgam. So we are noisik to asar a nois and tam lufgam, not to use it. But the Eved Lamais, if you cook in a pot, if you have a pot, that's treif, chazer treif, treif treif, right? And you cooked in it 24 hours later, the food is kosher. Food isn't allowed to be eaten. Just not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to do that. So I want to say a pasha to svara. It's when do we say nois in tam lufgam, you're not allowed to use a tam that's absorbed in a pot? That's only if the tam alone is usher. Whether it be a deraisa, be a derabonan. By Shabbos, the whole thing is a knas. You shouldn't come to be nehenah from your malach. Right? So as long as you're not going to be nehenah from your malacha, we have no reason to tell you to kasher a pot. Every time one kasher, you can only kasher a pot after 24 hours. You can't kasher a pot before that. So as soon as you're kashering the pot, it's already nois in tam lufgam. So the only reason why we're kashering it is to take out that absorption of Isser that's in the pot. But by Shabbos, there is no absorption of Isser. There's a knas on the person not to be nana from his Shabbos. If it's nois in Tam of Gam, he's not nana from the Malach. What? Yeah, but I'm saying that doesn't affect this. I'm saying even Gabiyu. Even Gabiyu. That's the... So Halacha L'maisa, that's the difference. A knas, which is on the Adam, intrinsically, the Heftzah remains fine. There's nothing wrong with the object. We're looking at the Adam. So when we looked at the Lashon HaRambam, the Rambam clearly said, Koinsin Maisai. It's a knas. We tell him not to be makar of the carbon. Right? That was the Lashon HaRambam we had. Yeah. Shemitoich ma'asav nikra, the end of Aloha Aleph in Perek Dalet. Mitoich ma'asav nikra, shuhu mishahe oison, kidei legadel mehem adorim adorim. Lufikoch koinsim oisoi velo yakriv. The Rambam clearly says we're going on the person. We do a knas to you, we tell you not to bring it. That's one approach. The other approach is that Chazal made the korban posel midrabbanan. And the Brisker Rav in the Sefer Hagriz, he has this hakira as to what Chazal did. Did they make the carbon parcel? Or did they just tell the person? So I wanted to say that that's the machloikas rishayim. That's the machloikas here in the Gemara. If you learn that it's a getter of a knas on the person, so then it makes sense. Chazal made a knas. They made it on the person. We don't want you to do something wrong. Because we don't want you to do something wrong, we made a knas that you can't bring it. So the most logical thing is, we go by the simple avera that you did. As soon as you delay this carbon from being brought, you're over bal ta'achar. You're worthy of a knas. Why would we go dream up new reasons? That's the reason why the Rambam and the Meiri give that reason. Because why should we dream up new reasons? Simple, you let the behemoth stay in your domain, you're over bal ta'achar. So we don't want you to be over bal ta'achar. Very poshut. And if you did, we make a knas that you can't do it. Simple. That's Aleph Beis, right? But Rashi, Rabbeinu Gershom, the Rav Mibar Tanur, all of them, they hold that the Chazal came and they made the korban posel. Made the korban posel, midrabanan. Then there had to be a kodshin problem. And that was an analogy we brought to Masechta Sukkah, even though it's not an exact analogy. I wasn't trying to say it's the same. It's actually quite different than there. Just was trying to bring a concept out that if you want to make the carbon puzzle inherently, you have to have a kodshim problem with the carbon. You have to have a chilul problem with the carbon. You want to say the carbon is no good, you have to have an intrinsic kodshim issue. That's why they brought down the Indian of Me'ilah. The Indian of Me'ilah is a kodshim by nature issue. And therefore, we could say if we're afraid that the animal will come to Lidei Chilul Me'ilah, so now we come and we give Adin Psul de Rabbona. And the reason why I say it's just an analogy is because really if you're moil in Kedushas Haguf, it doesn't really go L'chulin. By Kedushas Domim, if you're moil, it goes L'chulin. By Kedushas Haguf, it doesn't become Chulin. That's what I'm telling you. It's an analogy. It's not mamish an exact dimyan. But still, and that's why those Rishonim who hold it's a Kodshim Halacha, they were looking for a Kodshim reason. Whereas Baal Ta'achar is not a kachim reason. Baal Ta'achar is a din in all Nadara. Now, if we take this to the next step, we could say that that's really the machloikis in the Gemara. You could say that that would also shed light on the potential machloikis in the Gemara. Because if it's a kachim issue, right, so really what Chazal did is they came and they had a kachim concern. They had a kachim concern. They had a concern. They didn't really have a concern about any individual person. Okay, let's look at Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom. They didn't really have a concern about any specific person. Chazal's concern was that you have a behemah, which is kachim, and it may come to Mila. It's not Reuven, Shimon, Levi. It's a kachim concern. It's to protect the rights of kachim. Okay? Obviously, the owner is more of a problem. He's there. He may be moil quicker than somebody else. It's not only the moil. It's the shepherd. It's the whoever. There's no one person we're pointing our finger to. We are worried about behemas kachim coming to Me'ilah. So it's really, it's a safeguard for kutchin. Okay? It's not a gezeira like on Shabbos, don't read to the candle because you may come to turn the candle. We're worried about you. Not worried about the candle. We're worried about you. So these two approaches really are focusing on two different elements. According to the Rambam and the Meiri, we're looking at the individual. But the carbon is fine. We're not worried about the protection of kutchin. We're not worried about milas kutchin. We're worried about the person. We don't want you to be over in avera, right? You may be over bal ta'achar. We're worried about you. It's not a kutchin problem. It's you. According to the other rishonim, we're not worried about you. We're worried about the behemah. We don't want the kutchin to come to mila. Whoever, by anybody. We don't want behemah's kutchin to come lidei mila. Now, if you think about it, I think this mamish enlightens the tutzadim in the Gemara. Because if we're worried about kutchin, protecting kutchin, right? The more unlikely that the scenario will be that we will have such a carbon, the more likely it is we don't make such a gezerah. We're worried about kutchin, okay? So if it's 1 in 1,000, we're ready to make a gezerah. If it's 1 in 10,000, we're not worried about the gezerah. We're worried about kutchin. We're trying to protect behemoth kutchin. We're worried about a certain percentage, certain statistic. If it's outside of that range of statistic, we're not worried about it. Okay? That's the first mandam of the Gemara. That's Rabbah. Rabbah says, what, an anakel of a shlomim? I'm not talking about the gavra. The owner of the anakel of a shlomim is a very serious issue with him. He needs help. Okay? But we weren't focusing on the owner. We were focusing on behemoth kutchin. Behemoth kutchin, we're going to go worry about anakel of shlomims. It kemat doesn't happen. We're not worried about that. We don't have a job to protect that scenario. Mashen came. If the gezerah here was on the Adam, we weren't protecting the kutchin. We were trying to hook the guy. So the guy that has the anakel of the shlomim, he's our guy. He's the guy that we're worried about. It's not a very strong kutchin issue, that's true, but it's a strong gavra issue. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi is focusing on the Adam. He says, the Adam, mukha milsa de legadol kaboy. This guy wants to have a legadol. And that's the reason why the Rambam l'shitosai, that paskins like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, he says, koinzimaisai. Because we're not worried about the behemoth. If we were worried about the behemoth, then we would not be worried about the Vlad. We're worried about the Adam. And the Adam, this is a real guy, this is a real criminal, this Adam. He's the guy that we're worried about. So therefore, in this case, this Adam, this far-fetched case, this Adam, that guy can't bring the carbon. What? Yes, because it's totally in how they paskin. In other words, if you paskin like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, then that's the way you're going to be mefarish the pashtus of the sugya. If you're going to be paskin like the other man, so the Rambam l'shitasai, he paskins like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So when he goes and he's mefarish the Mishnah with the reasoning of his psak halacha, with the other Rishen and paskin like the other mandama, they're following the reasoning of the other mandama. He would agree. But he says, I'm paskin like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Look at my Mishnah Torah. That's how I paskin. So now I'm going to be mefarish the Mishnah like the way I paskin. Why doesn't he care? They didn't make a zera for that. It's not a kasha on Chazal. Chazal didn't make zeras on every scenario. The shaila is, what was this zeras Chazal? I could come up with 1,000 zeras that Chazal could have made. The question is how to understand this zera. What did they do here? We're not here questioning the psychology of why they thought of it and why they think of this and they didn't think of that. That's not our business. We want to know what was the zeras Chazal. According to the Rambam, the zeras Chazal was on the Gavra. If it's on the Gavra, the most likely gzera that they were talking about is Bal Tachar. And then the scenario of the person who has the grandchild of a Shlomim, he's our prime candidate. According to the other Rishonim, the gzera was a gzera of Kutchim, protecting the rights of Kutchim. The grandchild of a Shlomim is an unlikely scenario. We're not worried about that. True, that guy, that Yukul, yeah, he's a bad guy, but we weren't looking at the Yukul. We were looking at protecting Kutchim. Okay.
Effectively denies the spare to the Kahana.
We're not denying them because we're not denying them anything. Because this animal's going to get a mum. Then we're going to redeem it. And with the money, we're going to bring a good one. Nobody's being denied anything. It's being replaced. It's being replaced. We're not denying anybody anything. Just a question of how to deal with it. Okay. This animal can't be brought. Right. Puzzle is the wrong term. Because that depends on how you learn. The animal can't be brought. But according to the other Rishonim, according to the Rishonim who paskin like the Chachamim all the way, and they go like Rabbah's opinion, then they hold that according to the Chachamim, even the Vlad could be brought for a carbon, according to the Chachamim. L'chayrinat, because once they made the Gzera, you can always say that, but that's included in the Gzera. You're right, conceptually it should be that way, but that's a din in every din. That's a shas shayla of kansinun b'noi tachtav. That's Columbus discovered, you know what I'm saying, that's not our sugya. That's the noi de b'yehuda shayla, when children yarshin from their parents, the chometz, Shavu Levav Pesach, if you say the whole thing was Bayu Abayimot, say the kids never were over Abayimot. That's a generic Shailin, Hilchus Knossos. Doesn't really have to do with this. Okay, I'm going to start the next sugya. We'll actually finish it. It's a small sugya. Mishnah Yud Chesam and Beis. Vlad Toido Utimurasa Vlodon Vlod Vlodon at Saif Kol Hadoirois Harei Luke Toida. A Vlad Toida, Tmuras Toida, Vlad Toida at Saif Kol Hadoirois Harei Luke Toida. They have a din of a Toida. Ubuvad Shein Tunim Lechem. Over here, for some reason, they didn't make a Xerah, which Rashi discussed about earlier. It's not required lechem. Ubulvad she'enom tunim lechem. Okay? It's also a strange lashon in the Mishnah, which we'll get back to. The Mishnah L'chayra should have just said, Vlad toido t'muras of lov lodan atzev kol adoris, harei luke toido, ve'en tunos lechem. Ubulvad is like a strange lashon. Only, it's like, what are you trying to push here? I mean, just say, ain't tunas lechem. That's all, you don't need to bring bread. Ubuvad, it's almost like a condition. You could bring it on the condition that you don't bring bread. I mean, that's obviously not what the halach is. It's not a conditional hakrova. But that's the lashon of the Mishnah. Ubuvad, so long as, that's the way it reads anyway, right? You bring the tmura, you bring the vlad of the toida, so long that you don't bring the bread with it. I mean, if you bring the bread with it, you bring the bread with it. I'll tell you, you don't need it. I mean, the lashon of bulvad is just is uncharacteristic in the lashon amishn. Okay, says the Gemara, minani mili. How do we know that the vlad toida tamura? We brought this down earlier. The tonu rabbonon mahuoyme yakrivenu. Why does it say yakrivenu? It's coming to teach you amafresh toida va'ovda v'ifresh shacheres tachteha. Somebody was mafresh a korban toida, and then the toida got lost. And you find an imtzis of Rishayna, v'areishteyen oimdois. Now you have two toidas in front of you. So you don't know which one to bring. Minayin she'eza she'yirtza yakrif. How do you know you bring whichever one you want? Either the first or second. V'lachmo ima, and you bring the bread with it. Tamud loimar toida. Now this is strange. Toida yakrif. Very strange. Minayin she'eza she'yirtza yakrif v'lachmo ima. Of course you bring the bread with it. The first toida is a regular toida. Why wouldn't you bring the bread? The Gemara says, how do we know you bring the first toida with its bread? Of course you bring it with the bread. You chayev a toida with the bread. Why would, either you bring it or you don't bring it. I mean, if you bring it, of course you bring it with the bread. The chiddush is the other way. Tamud loimar yakriven. Says the Gemara, Tam Lama Tad Yaakov, Yochol Tei Shniya Tuna Lechem. Maybe you should have to bring bread with the second Taita. That's already a good Havamina. I would think you have to bring the bread. Tam Lama Yaakov Venu,
Achas v'lo ishtai. You bring one and not two. So it's almost a contradiction. Instead of the Torah telling me, which has to be analyzed, instead of the Torah telling me you don't bring the bread, the Torah sent me a conflicting message. The Torah basically said, bring both taitas. Then the Torah said, bring one taita. What's going on? Well, the Torah says, bring two taitas and bring one bread. Instead of the Torah being mamayat and telling me, don't bring the bread, the Torah didn't do that. The Torah just set a conflict. Bring, don't bring. Okay, you know what it means? It means bring it and don't bring the bread. When you find a drasha like that, there's also a reason why the drasha is in that way, why it's presented in that way. That's what it says. Achas v'lishtayim. Minayin l'rabois. How do we know that it include v'lodois, t'murois, v'chalifois? Coming to include all cases, v'lad, t'mur, and chalipin. Talmud loymar im al toida. It says, if a toida. Im al toida. I need bread. Talmud loymar al zevach atoida, toida tuna lechem, v'loy v'loda utmurosa v'chalifosa tuna lechem. The toida needs bread, not the vlad, the tmur, and the chalip don't need bread. That's the end of the drash. So Tosfos has a question, which we pointed out on the Mar Makomos. It seems to be redundant. The Gemara starts off by saying Minani Mili, and the Gemara brings a drosh, a Yakrivenu, that we learn out from there that you have to bring both. Right? Vinimsa Rishon of Arishtena, Imbis Minayan Shezim and Yaratsa, Yirtsa Yakr Velach Mima Tamatoyna Yikra, Yachol Teshnina Tulechem Tamalom Yakriveno, Achas Veloishtayim. So we already know you have to bring both. But basically, the Torah said, you could bring whichever one you want as your obligation, but you don't bring two breads. So by the Torah saying you don't bring two breads, it's obvious you bring both behemoths. So why do I later need another drasha to say that you bring all the behemoths? And the Torah says there's a drasha, Yochel Yetunah Tamalam Zavateh Tunah Lechem V'lo Vlodah. Tamalam Yakuvena Achas Loishtayim. Now I was Vlodah Smurus V'chalivis Tamalam V'imal Toidah. And then again, the Gemara goes through the same drasha. So if you look at Tosfos v'chalifos, Tzorachiyah. Tosfos says, I don't understand. Ma chalifos yihifrish toida v'ovda, v'ifrish acheres tachteha, v'nimtza rishoyin ha-reishtey and aimbos. Hakvar shaminin lo mireisha debraisin. We already learned that. So we already learned that. What is now being added beyond that? What's new? That's Tosfos' question. Rashi and Menachos actually asked the same question as Tosfos. And Afay and Tes. Rashi says maybe the second Rosh is including Chalipin. As the first one is saying, just the case of Hifrish. Right? The second one is including Tmura and Vladis, and all those are also included. That's the difference between Drosha 1 and Drosha 2. That's what he says. But that's Tosfos' question. So if you look at the Vilna Gaon, on the bottom of the daf, the Hagos Hagra, he says, V'li nira, just the one line there on the bottom of the daf. V'li nira, demar b'chalifos lahakrova, af acha shekorva harishana. So the Vilna Gaon means, to say here, l'chara, is a simple word. What he means to say is that once it's true, we already had a ribui that you could bring the vlad. That's true. But we didn't learn yet definitively that if you brought the carbon A, you have to bring carbon B. We didn't learn that. And that is the chiddush of the second drasha, that even if you brought carbon A already, you must, not you can bring either one, you must bring carbon B. That's what the Gaon means. When he comes to answer, seems to be a simple answer he's giving to Tosfos. Very olive base, right? In other words, if the first drasha is bringing Eze Mehen Yakrif, you can take whichever one you want. The second drasha is including that actually Minayin L'Rabois Vlodis Tmuris V'Chalifois is saying you have to bring all of them. Not just you can. Not just that you can bring which one you want, but you must bring all of them. That's what the Gaon means. Now, it seems to be such a simple solution that why didn't Tosfos say that?
The reason why Tosfos didn't say that is found in the Ohel Shloima. The Ohel Shloima says very Pashup, and that's really the way I read Tosfos. You know, I think it's Pashup Shandas. Tosfos held that if the Goyen is right, that Drosha A only meant you could bring whichever one you want, why in the world would it have to tell me you don't bring two breads? The fact that already in Drosha A we had an exclusion on the breads, that's a raya that the korban is brought. Because clearly there's no havamina, you bring one korban and two sets of breads. That's zichah not a havamina. So the fact that within the first Drosha we needed a miut to say that you don't bring the bread, it's licked in them. It lies in that, that we already understand that you have to bring both. Well, the Goyen doesn't even say have to. The Goyen doesn't even say that. The Goyen, I don't know that there can even be such a Havamina that after you brought carbon A, you can bring carbon B. I don't even think that's a possibility. The possibility is that I have two animals here, I can bring whichever one I want, and then by bringing one, the other one goes out. I don't think there could even be a Havamina that I bring animal A, and then animal B is still a toida if I'd like. I don't think that's even a Havamina. What? What the Goyen L'chair is saying is that I have to bring both. Meaning, it's not an option that I could bring whichever one I want. I must bring both. But there's no Havamina that I can bring both. The Havamina is I can bring either one, or I must bring both. You follow? I don't think anybody entertains the possibility that you have two korbanos, you bring one toida, the other toida remains a kosher toida that you don't have to bring. Inherently, if something's a kosher toida, that you will makdash, you got to bring it. The only thing is, what the Goyen means is, the first drush is telling you, either one. They're both here, they're both kosher toidas. Whichever you'd like. And then when you bring one, the other one jumps out. In other words, you will mafish two titus. You mafish one, that one got lost, you mafish a second. Now they're both here, so they're both titus. Now, by bringing one, you're going to throw the other one out of the circle. That's what the Goyen is saying. Kamashul in the second Russia, that you must bring both. Now, you must bring both is inherent by the fact that you can bring both. I mean, The Havamina of you can means you can bring one of the two, or you must bring both. To say that there's a Havamina that you must bring one and you can bring two, I don't believe there is such a Havamina according to anybody. But if that's the way I read it, what I meant in the Goyen is that you can bring either one of the both that you'd like, Eze Mehen Sheyirtze, like the Lashon of the Brisa. Bring whichever one you'd like. You have two potential toidas. You will mafresh two, take one, whichever one you'd like, and then the other one is out. Okay? Kamash one, that they're both in. If they're both in, you must bring both. That's not an option for you to say, well, I have another toy that's sitting in my barn that I was makdish that I don't have to bring. I mean, an adova you also have to bring. If I say I raise a shlomim, I don't say I raise a lie, I still have to bring it. I can't makdish a carbon and forget about it. That's not an option. Right, so what Ezeme and Shiyirtze means, according to the Maskana, is you could decide which one you want to bring as your obligation, and with that, bring the bread. And the other one will be just the other Torah. That's the way it means, according to... And that's what the Goyen says. The Goyen says, I would think, says the Goyen, V'li nira demar b'chalif is la'akrava. It's mar b'chalif is la'akrava. Af achar shakorva rishayna. Even after you brought one, the other one is still hakrava. Now, once the other one is a valid hakrava, it's an obligatory hakrava. It's not your toida schoiva, but it's a toida. You have to bring it, like any carbon that you have in your possession. Because the Torah said no bread. Why did the Torah say no bread? We don't write the laws. It's not lower. It's a Torah that the Torah said you don't have to bring bread. The Torah makes the standards. The Torah standard is Toida A needs bread and Toida B doesn't need bread. And you decide which Toida you want to bring as your Toida. The second Toida will not need bread. That's all. The problem, the reason why the Toisis didn't want to learn like the Gro, is because if the Gro would be right, then why did the Gemara need, in the Hamamina, even before the Gemara came to the second Drasha, why did the Gemara need a Drasha saying you don't need to bring bread with the second one? If you don't bring it, you don't bring bread. That's obvious why Tosfos didn't learn like the Gro. That's how the Eilu Shleima learns, and that's obvious why Tosfos didn't like the Gro. So, well, then how did the Gro learn? That's another question. But I'm saying clearly, it's clear why Tosfos didn't learn like the Gro. So, one just try to give some clarity into this prat to answer Tosfos' kasha. What really was renewed by the second Drasha? What was Nischadish here in the second Drasha? Of Vlodes, Chalifis, and Tmuris. And also maybe to understand perhaps what the Shaila here between the Goyan and Tosfos is. So it's a very, very difficult Rambam that sort of seems to go against our Gemara. And our Mishnah, for that matter. So the Chazon Ish that you have is actually the wrong ois. It's the next ois. If you look, the one that's underlined is ois vav, and the one that we're talking about is actually ois zayin. If you look at ois zayin, and you go down to the middle of ois zayin, a little bit more towards the bottom of that ois, you'll see that he says Rambam beperek yudbeis. The last word on the line is Vaharambam. It's Rambam beperek yudbeis mehilchas psulei mukdash. Sorry, you know something? Okay, we weren't. Okay. I take back my apology. Oisvav. V'chein v'lad toida shekorav toida. V'ein tu'un alechem. That piece, the first piece. So he says here, that v'ein afrosho rishoyno makrivosa. The first afrosho is not ma'akev it from being brought. V'ainu time medivlat toida korav toida kiditnan leil daf yudches gzeres hakosav shein ton lechem elo rishin. Right? V'im kein kishemakrev avlat harishoyin hu ton lechem v'hu todoso v'lo yichta toira shavlat ye korav kemoisris. He says that it doesn't make a difference whether you brought the Vlad when it says Ezameim Sheyirtza. Not only is that a din by Chalipe Toida, see, Chalipe Toida are parallel to each other. Okay? There's nothing better about the first Toida than the second Toida. You said, I raise that Toida, it got lost. You said, I raise that Toida. There's no benefit other than the calendar date that the first one is nailed in on Yud Nissen, and the other one was nailed on Yud Aleph Nissen. It's the same Toida. There's no preference. When you're dealing with a Vlad Toida, there clearly is a preference. The mother is the Toida that you were Makdash. The Vlad Toida was just a sub. It was born from the Toida that you were Makdash. The Chalipe Toida that you separated is a parallel to the Toida that you separated two Toidas. Not giving any one a preference over the other. So the Chazon Ish says that it's a gezeres hakosav. It does not make a difference if you were makdish the Vlad Toida or not. The halacha is that the gezeres hakosav is the rishen. He says the imkain kishem makriv avlad rishen hu toun lechem v'hu todoso. Says the Chazon Ish, it does not make a difference which one you bring first. Even if you bring what would seem to be the tofo first, that would be your main toida. In other words, that would be the one that needs bread. Even though that toida is not your ikar toida. You weren't even makdish that toida. You were makdish the mother. That's your korban toida. You never were even makdish the Vlad.
The Vlad by default got Kedusha. Okay? So what the Chaznish is saying is that we don't find in the din that Vlad Toida is a Toida, and you only bring bread with one of them, we don't find that should be unique to the Dafka, the mother. The Vlad could become the Iker too. Whichever one you bring first, that's the one that's the Iker. And the Chazon Ish is pointing out that seems to be difficult, because logically, it should be the mother is the Iker Toida. When you have two Toidas parallel to each other, makes sense. Whichever one you want, bring. You basically mafresh two potential korbanas. Now you have both of them. Bring whichever you'd like. When you have a Vlad Toida, that's really a tuffle. And still, the Chazon Ish is saying it's a Gezeres HaKosov, that you only bring bread with the first Toida that you bring. That's what he says. Now, based on that, the Chazon Ish actually wants to connect this to the Rambam. Could somebody bring me a Rambam Korbanos? Because the Rambam basically says as follows. The Rambam says that if you bring carbon A, Toida, right? Then you bring, and then you find the other one. You bring the other one also as a Toida. No bread, like Asugi. But then the Rambam says, Shkech. Rambam says as follows. Vlad Toida utmurasa. V'hamafrish toida, sorry, v'ovda, imevion la'acha kapora, if you already brought the first toida, rishayna ain't a tool in alecha. Right? You don't need to bring, even though that was the first one, doesn't matter. You only bring the lechem, even the one that you will mafrish first doesn't have any preference. V'imadayin lo kiper bo, ir loshen Rambam, if you didn't yet, so in other words, you found both of them, you didn't yet bring either one. Now they're both standing here. Says the Rambam, listen to this. Varehi b'chalifosa. And here you have it and its chalipin. Hi uvlada. You have it and its vlad. Ohi utmurasa. Hare shnehem tzrichim lechem. You have to bring bread with both of them. That's the Rambam. Basically, it's a clear conflict with our sugya. Our sugya says clearly that if you find the other one, you have both of them here, you only bring one. You only bring bread with one of them. You can bring whichever one you want. But the Rambam is somehow making a new chiddush here, that it depends what happened. If you already were mechaper with the first one, then the second one doesn't need bread. But if they're both standing here, then they both need bread. He doesn't say exactly what he means as far as when you found it, but his lashon is, that's the assumption. The way you're saying, that's the assumption. If you look at his lashon is, v'im adayin loy kiper bo, v'harehi v'chalifosa, and here it is, I find it in its chalip, and ohi ovlada, oy medes, it's standing here, whatever that means, hare shneyem tzrichim lechem. Right. That's the problem. The problem is, it's really twofold. First of all, the Rambam seems to be self-contradicting. And the only way to answer the Rambam would be to say that what the Rambam means, either way, his lashon is ambiguous. I'm saying the first halacha is, hifrish toida v'avda, hifrish acheres tachtecha. Then he gives a case of tmura. He says, Toida utmurasa. I have both of them. Toida and utmura. So he says like this. If you brought it afterwards, then it doesn't need. Doesn't need bread. And he says, what's going on? What's he talking about? So it's a very shver Rambam. And there are basically two approaches. There's the Chazon Ish's approach, which is very similar to the Sfas Emes. And we have the
Other approaches of Chafetz Chaim. In his Sefer Likutei Halachos on Kodshim, Chafetz Chaim has an approach which is rejected by the Chazon Ish. He quotes the Chafetz Chaim, and he actually rejects the pshat of the Chafetz Chaim. He says that that doesn't, Lufi Daita, he feels that that does not work. And that he alludes to in the next siman in Oizayin, where he says, look at the end now of Oizayin, the end of that paragraph. He says, "Velule shalonitna reshus lagia efshel asaken." I would write, "Vlad toide meviyon einen tunim lechem." V'madayin hiu vlad oimedas harei shneiem tzrichim lechem. Rotzaloymar eze mehen sheroitze. What the Rambam means is, whichever one you want, you could use the bread with. He doesn't mean they both need bread. He means you have a right to use the bread, whichever one you want. The only thing he's really adding to what he said before is don't think you have to use the bread with carbon A. No, you could use the bread with carbon A or carbon B. You could use the bread with the Iker carbon or with the Tmura. You could use the bread with the mother or the Vlad. That's what he means. That's all the Rambam means. Avul kivon shehikriv achas, shnia la'acha kaporav eintun alecha. So the Chazon Ish refuses to accept that the simple words of the Rambam is what he means. Clearly, the Rambam says, Shneem tu'unois lechem. He says it. They both need bread. Chazon Ish is saying that if I had Rishus, I would say that that's not what he means. What he really means is, he says, I would even change the Lashon HaRambam. Imagine that. Chazon Ish says, if I had permission, I would change the Lashon HaRambam. What the Rambam means, he says, is that either one, first he told us only one has bread. Namely, you would say the first one. Then he's telling us that if they're both here and you aren't yet makriv, don't feel restricted to choose A over B, which one is going to be your main toid. You decide whatever you'd like is fine. And that's all the Rambam means. That's what he says. Umashe Kosav Hagon Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKoyen. When he first wrote this, it was in the Chafetz Chaim's life. That's why it says Shlita. Then it says Zechrono Levracha. B'simin lamed hei b'das harambam, tomu amoid. I'll tell you what the Chafetz Chaim says. What the Chafetz Chaim says in Likutei Halachos is that what the Rambam means is mamish literal, which I have to say, the Chafetz Chaim's pshat, although it's very difficult to understand in pshat, in the words of the Rambam, it's black and white. What David was asking, what really did the Rambam add when he said those, what's the difference between case A and case B? He clearly doesn't mean you found it, because in case A, he says clearly, you have the tmura, he's talking about we have both animals. So what changed? Chafetz Chaim says it depends. If you bring both behemoths to the Azara together, you walk them in, and they're both in the Azara, you have to give lechem to both of them. If, however, you leave one of them home, you bring one, and you sort of forget about the other guy. The other guy's home, I'm not talking about him now. Let me get this guy out of the way. Then, if you bring this guy, you just bring bread, and now the other guy's potter. So really, according to the Chafetz Chaim, it's a totally new chiddush from Rambam, unbelievable chiddush, some kind of halacha of like the Azorah's koilet. The Azorah hops on to both animals. If they both walk into the Azorah together, neither one becomes the b'dieved one. They both walk in, they're both the chosn kala. Chosn kala, nobody's a tuffle to anybody. Right? If they don't come together, if you bring one and you finish up with this guy, now this guy becomes the mechutin. He's the toy. The guy at home now is the guy from La'acha Kapora. And the guy from La'acha Kapora, he doesn't need a second bread. That's what the Chafetz Chaim. So again, the Chazon Ish refuses to learn that pshat because it doesn't make sense to him. So even though I must say the Lashon HaRambam is exactly like the Chafetz Chaim, because the only thing the Rambam tells us in case B is he says again, Harei Shneim Oimdois, which means they're both here. Here, where's here mean? In the Velt, here in the Azor. He says, Avol, he says, Imadayin Lo Kippur Bo, V'harei Hi V'Chalifo So Hi V'Lo De Oimedes, they're both here standing. Then, Harei Shneihem Tzrichim Lechem, they both need bread. So it's clear that the Rambam's Lashon is like the Chafetz Chaim. The only thing is he didn't say the words Ba'azorah, but that's that much we can say licked in the Lashon of the Rambam.
The Chazon Ish's pshat is completely not with the Lashon HaRambam, which he himself says. He says, I agree. He says, you have to change the Lashon HaRambam, the way I'm learning. The way the Chazon Ish is learning, all the Rambam means is, you have a choice. If you already brought A, then you have no choice. If you didn't bring A, don't think you don't have choice. So Shneem doesn't mean Shneem Tunois Lechem, it means both of them can be used with the bread. They don't both have a chiyuv. One of them does, whichever one you decide. They're not tuna. Achas mehem tuna islach. Which would basically mean Rambam decided that the Mishnah didn't know how to write a halacha, because the Mishnah basically said exactly the opposite of Rambam. Basically, the Rambam is saying, you know that Mishnah in Tmur Yud Chesam and Beis? Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote the Mishnah wrong. I'm going to bring down the same halacha that he brought down, I'll bring the opposite lashon. Rabbeinu HaKadosh said, Ubuvat She'en Atunos Lechem. Rabbeinu HaKadosh brought down this halacha, and he said, by the way, it doesn't need bread, and I'm going to write it in my sefer, it's Tunos Lechem. That's the way you want, that's what you want me to buy. No sale. That's what you're telling me. The Rambam is paskening like our Mishnah, and he means to say that not they both need bread, only one of them needs bread. The Tana, how was the Tana's way of telling me that? The Tana said, Ubuvah, that they don't need bread. And the Rambam said, they do need bread. That's just not acceptable. So, I therefore would lean towards the Chofetz Chaim's Mahalach. But it's not so, I thought we could finish this up quickly. I think we'll have to leave it still for next week. So, Mitzvah Shem, will be Mamshech. What I will ask you to do, I'm not going to add Mar Makaymas for next week because I think this will take up the shir. If you can go through the complete Oy Zayin in the Chazon Ish and the Rambam, this Rambam in Hilchos Psulei HaMukdashin in Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Ches, the entire Halacha. Okay.